Welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we're just going to continue our class here. And I know that for some time we've had the class called Ministry in the Appearance of Christ. And I've just kind of noticed after several classes that more it's seeming like, I changed classes at some point. And it's been basically the Lord directing my own heart in my searches in the Scripture. And what I see it to be more of is obedience, the inward obedience of the heart. Obedience unto the voice and obedience unto the vision. Obedience unto the heavenly voice and obedience unto the heavenly vision. And that's just the way it's been. And you can probably see the same. And of course, yes, it does fall under ministry. But more so, it's just that, the inward obedience of the heart. And I just wanted to mention before we started our class that we've had several classes since we've been back from our conferences in Mexico. I've been out since we got back. I was out in Texas for a while, but now I'm back. And we're basically going to be picking up, continuing our classes once again. The conference time in Mexico is really good. You can check out the audios or the videos on our website. My session, of course, will be all in Spanish, so if you understand a little bit of Spanish, I would recommend that, because you can see the flow from the very first conference session to the end of just the mind and thought of the Lord in that. So for this class, I just wanted to continue where we had left off on our previous class, and we were talking concerning Joshua and the walls of Jericho in our previous classes. And first, just to kind of bring you up to speed, we were talking about in our, I think it was like the past couple of classes dealing with Joshua and the walls of Jericho, and we saw how that Joshua himself was dealt with by the Lord. And this was predecessor, this was necessary, this was absolute necessary for the rest of the body, if you will, to continue in purpose. All right, Joshua at that time, he's the leader. He is the one who needs to be dealt with of the Lord. He's the one who has to come face to face with the Lord himself, where Joshua must submit unto the government now of the Lord rather than his own government, the mind of the Lord rather than his own mind, etc., etc. And we saw that in the previous class. And then in our last class, we saw how that the Lord was speaking to Joshua, basically what will come about, how all things will be taken care of with the walls of Jericho, and how the Lord will deal with this situation. Excuse me. So we saw that, and we looked at different, what is it? Here we go. We looked at different terms. We looked at the term trumpet. We looked how Jericho itself was the strongest fortress in all of Canaan. We looked at the term along, when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all these things basically giving instructions on what to do when you get here, what your part will be when you get to the when you get to Jericho. All right, now we're going to pick it up right here with Joshua chapter 6, verses 6 through 16. And our previous class was with verses 1 through 5, so we're basically taking it in portions. And before I continue on with this class, I just wanted to share something with me. This is more in a class. I've spoken to the Bible school students there in Mexico. We've already started our new semester with them. And I was just talking to them and just basically laying it out. It's more than a class to me. It's more than a preaching to me. It's more than a teaching for me. This, like my notes here, these, if you will, you could call it a diary. A diary of what the Lord is writing on my own heart. A diary of what the Lord is working in my own heart, okay? It's my own experience with the Lord, where the Lord himself is directing my heart. What, to do something? No. To be a part of something? No. Directing my heart to very simply turn unto him. That's what it is. That's the direction of the Lord. It's always to turn unto him, that the veil be removed and that we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ and nowhere else. That is what's happening during these classes. So when you look at when you look at the videos or listen to the audios on these classes that I'm doing, just keep that in mind. Just please know that it's more than a class. It's more than a teaching. It's more than a series. It's more than a sermon for me. Because the question continually arises in my heart, a question of the Lord. And the question is basically this: why are you here? What's your purpose? All right, what's your purpose? The Lord has a purpose, okay, back with our diagram. The Lord has a purpose, all right? Mankind also has a purpose. And the best thing to do is to be honest with the Lord. Just tell him straight up, you know, your purpose. Present to him your purpose and see, you know, see where the Lord goes with it. But anyway, so I, when he asked this question in my heart, the response of my heart, or the question, is basically this: are you here to know me, or are you here to serve me? Now, that may, to you, it may seem like, oh, well, he's asking the same thing. No, I'm not. It also may seem to you that, oh, well, Jimmy's taking two things that are necessary. Well, there's only one that is necessary. One have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Remember, at the very beginning of our class, ministry in the appearing of Christ, ministry is automatic, out of purpose. If you are not serving purpose, then you are not serving the ministry of God. Very simple. It's just very simple, very plain. That's just the way it is. Okay? So, are we here to know the Lord? Or are we here to serve the Lord? Are we here to preach? Are we here to teach? Are we here to evangelize? Etc., etc., etc. Are we here to serve the Lord in whatever capacity and whatever manner we think we ought? Well, the truth is, we are to be here to know the Lord. Even Paul said it. I think it was Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 specifically. But before that, Paul was just speaking of himself personally. He was basically laying out, look guys, before I was born again, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, perfect. The righteousness that is found in the law, perfect. This, I did this, I did this, I did this. And I'll just go ahead and read the verse. It's Philippians chapter 3, verse 5. Circumcised the... Oh, well, verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. All right? Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. The excellency of the knowing. That's, you can search it out at Strong's number 1108. For the excellency of the knowing of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. Verse 10. Okay? So all these things right here. Count it all things lost, even dung, for the excellency of the knowing of Christ Jesus my Lord. Okay? Now these are the things that Paul was before he was born again. Now that Paul's born again, he still counts them as dung. These are the things that he counts as dung. What he considered, listen, his life to be. What he considered his life to be, that he counts as dung. For what? For the excellency of the knowledge, for the excellency of the knowing of Christ Jesus my Lord. What's your goal, Paul? Is it to be an apostle? Is your goal to preach? Is your goal to evangelize? Is your goal to be a missionary? No. His goal is to know the Lord. Verse 10, that I may know Him. Okay, just take it that far. That I may know Him. So, this is the question that the Lord raises in my heart time and time again. Listen, and He'll do this with all of us. Lest we become settled and content with our imagination and our illusion, but that it would stir and prick in our hearts a motivation, an expectation to see Him. If you do not see, you do not know. Okay? So, everything is automatic out from the appearing of Christ. It's just the way it works. Everything's automatic. Automatic. You can't change it. I can't change it. That's just the way it is. So, before I was doing this class, or going over the notes for this class, that's what was on my heart. And I'll just go ahead and just give you a real quick summary, because I shared it in my Spanish class. But I remember when I was 20 years old, and that's when I was born again, when I was age 20. And I remember about the week or couple of weeks right before I got born again, and I was praying to the Lord, all right? I was, if you will, laying down the terms, my terms of the agreement, if you will, like I had an agreement with the Lord before I was born again. But anyway, that's I laid it all out to the Lord. And I still remember to this day, I'll never forget it, I was just saying, Lord, I've seen the religious world. I've seen the religious game. And I used this term in my Spanish class. I've seen the religious circus. I don't want that. I don't want that. Because to me, it was all fake, period. It was just a lot of people, you know, with their fad, with their thing. And I had my thing, and I changed things when I got bored of it, and I did something else. I did not want the Lord to be another thing, another fad that came along. All right? I didn't want it to be something that I could embrace for a second, then get bored of it, and then go on to something else. I wanted the real thing. I wanted reality. I wanted something real. The Lord was true. The Lord was faithful to that prayer, because He did not give me a religion. He did not hand me a list of do's and don'ts. He did not give me anything out of the mind of man. He did not give me any religion created by the mind of man. He did not present to me the Christian religion of man. Okay? Or any other religion, period. Christ appeared in my soul. He presented His one and only Son unto my soul, and I was born again. To this day, the Lord often reminds me of that prayer. What do I want? Do I want something real? Do I want the real? Or do I want something religious? Remember, the real is only found in the face of Christ. All right? Remember, in one of our previous, in our past classes, the beginning and the end. The beginning and the end. Okay? The real is only faced in the face of Jesus Christ. The real, listen the way I'll say this. The real is only realized in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay? You are in Christ because Christ is in you. That is a done deal of God. Christ is your life. You cannot change that. If you are born again, Christ is your life. You cannot change that. That is of God. You are in Christ because Christ is in you. The thing is, that's reality, period. The thing is, are you partaking of that reality? Are you governed by that reality? Keyword, governed, because we're looking at Joshua. Are you governed by that reality? Do you walk in the light as He is in the light? Do you walk in the light of His countenance? If not, if your heart is not turned unto the Lord with an unveiled face, and you are beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, if not, then if you're born again, you're involved in a religious circus. That's what it is to you, a religious circus. Some new fad, a fad that you will eventually get bored with, because this, your imagination, your illusion, does not satisfy. It's not meant to satisfy. It's like, I'll use it this way, it's like a mirage. Like, if I may have used this example before, if you are in the desert and you are thirsty and you see a mirage afar off of a tropical oasis, well, I can't say tropical, of an oasis, right? With palms and water, and you try to get to that, and having reached that, it's just a mirage. It doesn't satisfy the need. It doesn't satisfy your condition. It doesn't satisfy, period. It can't. It's a mirage. It's not there. Okay? If our hearts are not turned to the Lord, if we are not being, listen, satisfied with the living Christ, if we are not being satisfied in knowing the one who lives, the one who is our life, then we are trying to be satisfied with our illusion, with our vain imagination, with our mirage. Never reach satisfaction there. So you'll get bored. You'll get bored of this, and then what are you going to do? You're going to go to something else. Look, you get bored of this little thing right here. Bored of this little thing. So you've played it to the end. You go to something else. Now you're going to try this. Now you're going to try this. But see, It's like a, because in my Spanish class, I call it a circus, a Christian religion circus of man. You know, you go and you play, you ride the ride for a little bit, you get bored of that ride, you go to a different ride. You go and you play the game a little bit, you get bored of the game, you go to a different game. Okay? It doesn't satisfy because it was never meant to satisfy. It's not reality. Reality is found in the face of Jesus Christ, nowhere else. And time again, the Lord presents that to my heart. Where are you looking? Is your heart looking for reality in the face of Christ? Or is your heart looking for reality in what you think is your life? Right? Where's the view of your heart? Is it upon yourself, your own face? Are you looking into the vanity mirror? The mirror of vanity? Or are you looking into the mirror of the Word of God that shows only one image, Christ Himself? All right. Now, please don't get me wrong. You can search the Scriptures and you can see your own face in the Scriptures. But they are they that testify of me, says Jesus, of Christ. All right. I had a note here written that I'd like to read. I can't remember if I read it in a previous class or not. Be a Christian and not be born again? Yeah, I heard that. I was talking to a friend at work and I asked him, are you born again? He said, no. I said, okay. So I think I began to share the gospel with him. And later on, I saw him and he had mentioned, he was talking to someone else saying that he was a Christian. And I thought, whoa. You cannot be a Christian except you be born again. If Christ is not present, you're not born again, you're not a Christian, because Christ must be present. Okay? Now, you can agree with truths, you can agree with doctrines, etc. Versus, listen, what happens at new birth? What happens at new birth? A fundamental change in your constitution, in your makeup, the core of your being. You are displaced by the Spirit. By the Spirit of Christ. You are displaced by Christ. It is the natural versus the spiritual. The natural is not made better or enhanced. No, the spiritual appears. Christ appears. Who is the spiritual? Christ appears. He is the Spirit. Christ appears in the soul. It's a complete fundamental change in your constitution, your constitutional makeup. Life appears where there was no life before. It's just as drastic, and I may have said this before, it is just as drastic and extreme as when Jesus changed the water to wine. It is an impossibility in the natural to do. It is something completely impossible. It goes against all natural nature. But Christ does it. And what's impossible with man is possible with God. That's what happens at new birth. So you may be asking, so what does this have to do with the obedience of the heart? There you go. The obedience of the heart. What are we obedient unto? A list of do's and don'ts? Or are we obedient unto the heavenly voice and the heavenly vision? And therefore, out from that, there is not a constitutional change once you're born again, okay? The change has come at new birth. But now continuing in obedience to the voice, continuing in obedience to the heavenly vision, now what? We walk in that change. We walk in that reality. We walk, listen to me, in the truth. No longer the lie. See, no longer our imagination. No longer our illusion. No longer our mirage. See, right here, our illusion, our mirage, our vanity, our imagination will say, God needs to do something. God needs to do something. God needs to change me. God needs to do something. When all the while the Lord says, no, I don't need to do that. You need to turn your heart. I direct you to turn your heart. You must see the change. The change is what? That came about at new birth. Because remember, once again, Jordan, and this is a type of, because we're looking at Joshua, we're looking at the crossing of Jordan, we're looking at the taking of Jericho. All Jordan is an understanding that has already taken place, an understanding in the heart of something that has already taken place previously before. That's what the Jordan is. It is an understanding. You see, we saw it with in the reality, the testimony of the reality. Here's Israel in Egypt. Israel comes with a Passover lamb to the door. There's blood on the door. The death of the lamb, the death. Then they go through the Red Sea, the burial, and then they are in type and resurrection. Okay, that's reality. That's what's taken place. Israel is now in resurrection. That is reality. The thing is, Israel was not walking in reality. They were walking in imagination and illusion of their own heart, the mirage of their own heart. Okay, trying to be satisfied. They were walking not in reality. They were walking in their vain imaginations. And you see that little phrase in the Old Testament, vain imaginations, the vain imagination of the heart. The vanities of the heart, the imaginations of the heart. They were walking in illusions, imaginations, okay? To walk in reality, your heart must turn. The veil must be removed. Reality is only found in the face of Jesus Christ. To walk in that reality, to walk with the understanding that it is not I but Christ who liveth in me, the heart must turn and find what is so in the face of Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. Okay. So here we have Joshua, the walls of Jericho. Here we are. Once again, Joshua, the walls of Jericho. They're about to take the land, okay? I had to redo my diagram. This is Joshua chapter 6, verses 6 through 16. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests. In our previous class, the Lord was telling Joshua to take the priests, and we covered how it's the priests that would declare the eternal blessing. Remember? The eternal blessing of God. The Lord cause His face to shine upon thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee rest. The Lord bless thee. And that was the blessing. The blessing was His face, His countenance. So verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. Verse 8. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord. I want you to see something real quick here. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. That's verse 6. Okay? Here's the basic situation I drew up here in our diagram. We've got the trumpets. We've got the ram's horns. There's, how many were they? Seven. Seven priests, seven trumpets go before the ark of the Lord. Okay? I want to go ahead and just read this, a couple of these passages, because they fall in line with the verse that I just read. And I will once again use John the Baptist as a type, as an example. We saw this in a previous class, where John is like the summation of the testimony. And what is the summation of the testimony? What does the testimony do? The testimony says, "Behold the Lamb of God." That is the cry of the testimony. That is the cry of John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God. That is the apex of his ministry. That is the apex of how he serves the Lord. Behold the Lamb of God. The apex of the testimony right here is when we hear, "Behold the Lamb of God," from the testimony. Behold the Christ of God. All right. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the gospel. As it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." All right. This is Luke now. It's basically the same passages, but now in Luke. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 15. "For he shall be great," speaking of John the Baptist, "in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." Don't you love that? The purpose of the testimony, that many of the children, listen, just the words of this, the children of Israel, those that have the understanding of a child, he will turn to the Lord their God. It's just beautiful the way it's laid out. Verse 17. "And he shall go before him," before Christ, before the Lord, "in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." The disobedient. I love this. The disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to the wisdom of the just, to Christ himself, the wisdom of God. Christ, who is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, that he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. All right. And then picking up again in verse 76 of Luke chapter 1 through 79. "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins," to give knowledge, "that I may know him." Okay, let me look real quick, see if this is the same exact word used here in Philippians or not. And I'll let you know in just a second. Where we were looking with Paul, "that I may know him," the knowing of Christ. Verse 8 of chapter 3 of Philippians, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowing of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them dung that I may win Christ." The term "knowing," once again, is Strong's number 1108. Here we were in Luke chapter 1, verse 77, to give, Strong's number 1108, the knowing of salvation unto his people. It's all directing the heart to turn unto the Lord, unto the face, before his face, okay, to prepare his ways, to give the knowing of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light. Don't you love that? To give light to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Here you go. Here is peace. Not I, but other. That is peace. That is rest. Okay? Peace is one. Okay? And you can search it out. One is the crucified life. Not I, but other. Jesus said, it is not I, but the Father in me. Paul said, who came into that relationship, and not only came into that relationship, walked in that reality. Paul said, it is not I, but Christ who liveth in me. See, that's the thing. We've been brought into reality. Are we walking in reality? We've been brought into Christ. Are we walking in Christ? And I use the term reality right now because there is that which is reality, Christ Himself, and then there is that which we perceive to be reality with our diagram. But it is only our vain imagination and our illusions. There is that which we perceive with the natural mind versus that which is reality. Okay? So, we looked at those verses. Here's another verse. This is John, the Gospel of John. This is John chapter 1. Still looking at, you know, John the Baptist, the type. John chapter 1, verse 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Make straight the way of the Lord. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Okay? I have I have a note down here to read John 3:28, and I'll go ahead and read it. This is still concerning John the Baptist. This is now with Jesus when they came. And it says, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before Him. That's the order. I am sent before Him. Okay? I want to just say this right now, and I'll mark it down. There is a spiritual order. That's just the way it is. Remember at the beginning of the class I talked about what's the goal of your heart? Is it to know the Lord or is it to serve the Lord? There is a spiritual order. If you are in order, then you are knowing the Lord, and automatically out of that knowing comes serving the Lord. Okay? But if your heart, the goal of your heart, if your purpose in your mind is to serve the Lord, then you are out of order because you will try to serve the Lord apart from knowing the Lord. And then comes the passage where Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? Didn't I serve you in this manner? Didn't I serve you in that manner? What shall he say? Depart from me, I never knew you. The knowing, the face-to-face knowing. Okay? There is a spiritual order that that takes place here. Verse 28. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. Here we go. Back with Joshua, the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 6 of Joshua chapter 6. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. The priests bearing the ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. Okay? And we finally saw in our previous class and in the book of Revelation where the ram horn itself, the sound of the ram's horn is the sound of the trumpet. The sound of the trumpet is the voice of the Lord himself. Okay, that precedes the face of the Lord. When I heard the voice that spake with me, I turned to see the voice and seeing him. When I saw him, okay, there is an order To see, you must hear. First comes the hearing, then comes the seeing, okay? Now, right here, still continuing with that order. Here we have the seven priests with the seven trumpets declaring the testimony before the substance appears. There, just like John the Baptist, behold, he cometh. Behold, he cometh. What did John the Baptist say? Another thing that he said was, this is he of whom I said, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Or he could have very well said, maybe he said, he is before me, okay? But he that cometh, this is he of whom I said, of who I told you, he that cometh after me. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Okay? That's the order. It's the declaring of the testimony, the declaring of Christ, okay, before the substance appears. Now, with the Ark of the Covenant, here we have it's the Ark of the Testimony as well, but here's what it represents. It represents the presence of God. Because that's what the Lord, and we looked at this in a previous class, that's what the Lord told him. From here, I will meet with thee face to face and speak with thee from above the mercy seat between the wings of the cherub. From here, I will meet with thee. It represents the presence of God. It also represents the face of God, because those two cherubims are face to face. They are declaring a heavenly relationship right then and there. Okay? The Ark of the Covenant, representing the face of God, the presence of God, who will go before His face. I was sent before His face. John 1:28. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before Him, before His face. I send my messenger before thy face. Okay? And it's not so much to get caught up with the voice, but to get caught up with the face. John the Baptist said it himself, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before Him that ye may behold the Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. Do you see the difference? You can look at it this way again. The beginning and the end. Here we go again. The beginning, the voice, the end, the face. All right. And that was in some previous classes, the classes that we covered. We're just kind of seeing the exact same order in the book of Joshua chapter 6. Okay. So, having declaring the testimony, having been declared the testimony, the substance appears. Okay? The testimony goes before the appearing of the substance. It's just an order. It's just a spiritual order. How shall the heart be encouraged, have an expectation to turn to see the Lord, except they hear the testimony that declares Christ the Lord Himself? Jesus said, they are they that testify of me. If we don't see the testimony where it's testifying of Christ, how shall there be birthed in our own hearts an expectation to behold that very Christ that the testimony is declaring, that the testimony is testifying of? Okay? So there's the order. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. Verse 7, and he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns. All right. Pass on before the Ark of the Lord. Okay. I read the verse wrong. I kind of skipped a verse. Verse 7. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the Ark of the Lord. Okay. There you go. Do it this way. This is what you're going to do. Verse 8. Listen to verse 8. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord. Beautiful testimony. passed on before the Lord. Now it's declaring the Lord, not the Ark of the Covenant. The seven priests with the seven trumpets went on before the Lord. That's why I had us read these verses out of Mark, out of Luke, out of John. Because it's before the Lord. Remember, the Lord said, I will. Excuse me. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Not you, what you can do. I will. I appear. Well, how shall, book of Ezekiel, how shall this one live? I will put my Spirit in them. I will. It's always the same. I will. And it came to pass when Joshua, verse 8, had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, preparing the way of the Lord. What was preparing the way of the Lord? The testimony of the Lord, the voice of the testimony, the voice of the trumpet, the sound of the trumpet. And when it comes down to it, we must hear the voice, the sound of the trumpet, the voice of Christ Himself. That's really what it is. Horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. Now they bring back in the Ark of the Lord. The Ark of the Lord, the covenant of the Lord followed them. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. But before that, the priests bearing the seven trumpets, the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord. This was not a teaching. This was not a sermon. This was not a preaching. This was not an object lesson. This was the Lord. The Lord. Okay? Verse 9. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rear reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall... I love this. Verse 10. I need to circle verse 10. And Joshua commanded the people. He just didn't tell them. He commanded them, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth. I'll just hold it for right there. Listen to this. Joshua commanded the people, saying, ye, I love this, I just highlighted a couple of words, ye not, nor your, neither your. Not, nor, neither. Do you see it? Not your understanding, not your government, not your thought, not your way. Keep on reading the verse again. Verse 10, and Joshua commanded the people, saying, but why can Joshua say this? Why? Because he is governed by the mind of the Lord. Remember? This is what happened in the heart of Joshua first. Joshua saw the Lord. Joshua drew nigh to the Lord. Joshua fell on his face. What saith my Lord unto thy servant? Joshua yielded and was obedient to the heavenly vision. Right? And there it is. Yielded, was obedient to the voice. Yielded, was obedient to the heavenly vision. There you go. It's all right there. Verse 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth. Not. Not you, not your understanding, not your thought, not your way, not your illusion, not your vain imagination, not your mirage. I love this. The verse goes on. Until the day. And I know it's just written there as part of this verse right there, but listen, not until the day, until the day, until the day. Why? Because in the day, what is the understanding that governs? It is not, listen, it is not I, but Christ. That's the understanding that governs in the day. Till then, it is I. And Joshua says to that, no, not, neither, nor, not. The big no. The big no. The big no. Why? Because here it is an imagination, an illusion. And what does God say to that imagination and that illusion? That lie, that vanity? He says, no. That's not reality. Christ is reality. All right. I love it. You shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth. It is not I, but Christ, nothing of humanity. Ye, your. No, not, nor, neither. I love that. Until the day I bid you shout. Then, until the day, then you can shout. Then you can serve. No, not, neither. No, none of it. Until the day. Then the automatic. But we see we're all out of order. We're all out of order. We want to go around. We want to shout. We want to shout. We want to make a noise with our voice. We want words to proceed out of our mouths. When the Lord says, no, no. He says, not, nor, neither. Until the day. Now, I haven't searched this verse out, but you can search it out yourself, and I'll probably take a look at it after this class. You can be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. And I have not searched the verse out, but for here, for this passage, it's very well said. Why? Because where is the honor found? In you? No. In the Lord that honors the Lord versus a vessel that honors itself. A vessel that honors the Lord, because herein, the presence of God, no flesh shall glory in His presence. Or a vessel that honors itself. Jesus said, you know, how can you hear me? How can you come to me when you seek your own glory and not the glory that cometh exclusively from God? Not, nor, neither. Until the day I bid you shout. Then. This is huge. Then. I'm going to put automatic. Because that is exactly what it is. Then the automatic. Until the day, then the automatic. Okay? Then ye shall shout. Verse 11. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Verse 12. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. Okay. I like the way the description is right there. Verse 12. And Joshua rose early in the morning. Okay. And the priest took up the ark of the Lord, verse 13, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but their rear reward came after the ark of the Lord. The priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. That's all the priests are doing. They're right here. All that the priests are doing. No man is doing anything. No man is saying, nothing is proceeding forth out of the mouth of man, coming from the heart. What comes out of the mouth originates from the heart, comes from the heart. Okay? None of that going on, but the priests alone are blowing the trumpets. That's all that's going on, a continuous blowing of the trumpets. A continuous, sounding of the gospel. That's all that's going on. A continuous sounding of the gospel. A continuous sounding of the testimony, preparing the way of the Lord. Preparing the way of the Lord. In order. The order, a spiritual order, the order of the Lord, okay? Verse 14, and the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. Okay, this is what they did every day for 6 days. Remember in our previous class, there was no activity of man. 6 represents the number of man. You can search it out. I'm not a number fanatic, but you can search it out. 6 is the number of man. That's just the way it is. So they did 6 days. There was no activity of man. During this whole time, there's no activity of man. Okay, there's only the blowing of the trumpets. There's only the priests who are the ones that declare the eternal blessing. Sounding forth the sounding of the testimony, the sounding of the gospel, the sounding of the Christ. Listen, who is coming? Preparing the way for the Lord who is about to come. Who is coming, okay? Verse 15, and it came to pass on the 7th day. Don't you like that? How did it read the verse 10? Until the day, not nor neither, until the day. Ye not, nor your, neither your, until the day. Verse 15. And it came to pass on the 7th day. The 7th day is the Sabbath day. The day of rest. The day of rest. What is the day of rest? Where man does nothing. It is not I, but Christ. Are you walking in that reality? Are you walking in that day? Why? Because you've been brought into that reality. You've been brought, your soul has been brought into rest. Are you walking in that rest? Are you participating in that rest? Your soul has been brought into that reality. Are you walking in that reality? Are you participating in that reality? Can you, in your understanding, truly say, well, I can't say your understanding, can you, with the mind of Christ, say, it is not I but Christ? Well, apart from the mind of Christ, apart from the understanding of God, it's impossible. Because it's still your understanding, and you are still walking around for 6 days and trying to be quiet, right? Trying to hold back your activities. But here on the 7th day, there's no activity of man. Here on the 7th day, it is not I, but Christ. All right, so here we go. Verse 15, and it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early, listen to this, about the dawning of the day. No, not, nor, neither, until the day. And return. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day. And there's several things that happen at the dawning of the day. One of them is Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 through 31. And that's Jacob face to face. He sees the man, wrestles with the man, and sees the man face to face, calls the place Peniel. Also, 2 Peter, remember, still with the day, rose up early in that day. Here's 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day. A light, listen to that, a light. As you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Here it is. Peter is speaking to believers. He's not speaking to unbelievers. Peter is speaking to the church. Let's see, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, of Jesus our Lord. He's speaking to the church, not to the unbeliever. He's speaking to the believer. He's speaking to the one that's born again. Ye do what you, whereunto you do well, that you take heed. Watch. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, until the morning appears, until the day appears, the morning comes. And it came to pass the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day. Paul said the same thing. Do nothing, say nothing until the day. That's what Joshua said. Do nothing, say nothing until the day. Why? Because Joshua himself was faced with that day, with that man. Who is that day? And now Joshua is governed. And therefore he can govern accordingly, not by his mind, but by the mind of another. By the mind of Christ, by the mind of the Lord. Okay, he is ruled by the mind of the Lord. What saith my Lord unto thy servant? He's governed, he's ruled, he's governed in the day. Until the day, verse 10, ye not, nor your, neither your, until the day. Back in verse 15, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day. The Apostle Paul said the exact same thing. 2 Corinthians, I don't want to just rattle it off. I'm afraid I may misquote it. I know it, I've quoted it so many times. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God who commanded, don't you love that? Here's another command. Until the day, commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, not to our hearts, but in, on the inside, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Only on that, then they rose early about the dawning of the day. Beautiful. The whole congregation, the whole body, the whole people of God rose early at the dawning of the day. At the dawning of the day. Encompassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day, they compassed the city seven times. See, before it was only one time. This time it's seven times. Verse 16, and it came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout! For the Lord hath given you the city. The term shout is Strong's number 7321. To shout in triumph over enemies. To shout with religious impulse. That's out of the Brown Driver Briggs. It's the Hiffle stem. Now they are in the day. Now they are walking in. No, listen. They are in the day and now they know it. They are in the day. Israel is in the day, and they are aware of the day they are in. They are knowing the day they are in. Now it is not the sound of the flesh, but the sound of the Spirit. Here you go. And here's the Lord. And the Lord appears, right? It's right there. And the Lord appears. The very next verse. Joshua chapter 6, verse 17, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, this is verse 20, when the people heard the sound of the trumpets, that the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. There it is. All this declaring Finally, the whole body is in line with Joshua, in line with the priests. And the Lord appears. He appears. But to what end? To the destruction of the illusions, to the destruction of the imaginations, to the destruction of our mirages. See, at night we can imagine so many things. But this is just an example, a base example. At night you can imagine so many things if you're in a dark room. But once the light is on, you see things clearly. There's no more your imagination in that place anymore. Now you are aware of where you are. Okay? That's exactly the same way right here. I know my time is pretty much already ended. Let me just really see if I can cover this real quick. And the city shall be accursed. Listen to that. The city shall be accursed. Joshua says, the city shall be accursed. Okay? Even it and all that is therein to the Lord. That's accursed. Verse 18, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves in your heart accursed. Keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest in your heart you make yourself accursed. You are not under a curse. You are under the blessing. Why? Blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But if you have no clue, if you do not know, then in your heart you may believe you are under a curse when you are not. Okay? I've often said it. The problem in the church is a problem of ignorance. We just don't know. But what do we know? Do we know things? No. We do not know the life that is present. That's it. We do not know Him who is our life. Okay, verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, their rejoicing was in the sound of the trumpet, okay? And the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. And then verse 21, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. They utterly destroyed all. They utterly destroyed all. Unlike Saul, who did not. Remember? Previous class, Saul spared what he considered the best. No. When it's the mind of Christ, when it's governed by the head, no. You spare nothing of the imagination, nothing of the illusion. Everything is destroyed when it's brought to the light. Everything, when it's brought to the light, must be brought to the light. Okay, so let's see. I love this. Joshua 6:24. And I'll just highlight some verses because I'm running out of time. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Do you remember the exact same previous generation, what they said? They said, no, we will no longer hear the voice of the Lord. We will no longer see His great image, lest we be, what did they say? Consumed. Lest our life, what we think to be our life, what we imagine to be our life, what we think the illusion is of our life, be consumed. They would not allow their imaginations, their illusions to be consumed. This generation that was obedient unto the truth. They did go. They were able. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was in therein. All right, verse 26. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that raiseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. Cursed in your heart, no longer facing the blessing, but facing the curse. If you build again. I'll read this verse. Wow, we are really running out of time. In Galatians, here's the verse, Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. These are the very verses that I thought of when I was reading that. Verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be found under the curse, because he's not found under the blessing in his heart. Right? As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have not received, let him be accursed. Paul wasn't cursing anyone. He was saying, look, if you're going to be under the law, you are under a curse. If you're going to be under the law, you are under the curse. But the Lord hath redeemed us from the curse. We are not under the law, we are under grace. But if you don't know, then your heart will be wherever it wants to be. Or listen, your heart will imagine itself to be wherever it wants to be. Okay? Here it is. Not partaking of the blessings, for all the blessings are yea and amen in the person of Christ Jesus. But here, not being able to partake of the blessings that you have been brought into. Christ himself, the blessing of God, the eternal blessing. All because the heart does not turn to the Lord. Okay. Verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua. And we say, yes, I want the Lord to be with me. Listen, Joshua chapter 5, verses 13, 15 from our previous class. Why was the Lord with Joshua? Because Joshua was with the Lord. Remember, Joshua faced the Lord and fell on his face. What saith my Lord unto thy servant? These continued under that same government. So, there's the end of the class. Lord, keep dealing with our hearts that we may walk in the reality that he hath brought us into, that we may walk in the light as Christ is in the light, that we may walk in the light, that we may walk in the truth as Christ is the truth. And walk in reality as Christ is that very reality of God, and no longer walk in our own imaginations or illusions. So that's the end of this class. We'll see you in our next class. The Lord bless you all. Amen.